is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you.
It's time for Love and Healing Solutions with Beth and Gil. Gil is a highly skilled pastor who raised up two megachurches in Colorado. And Beth is known around the world as a top-flight psychologist, trauma expert, and gifted healer, and the co-founder of Quantum Technologies, helping people heal all over the world. Together, they inform and inspire people to recycle and repurpose their lives through the currency of healing from breakups and divorce, addiction, failure, loss, and change. It's time for solutions. Please welcome Beth and Gil back to News for the Soul.
Beth and Gil, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, hey, what's going on?
Well, you guys there? Are right now.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
Yep, you know, we realized, and since you and I go back and forth via email, I remember this is 2 o'clock for you and then 5 o'clock for us.
Yeah,
which
it is.
Oh,
the universal Pacific language over here, so we keep it all on the right schedule.
Yeah. And then we were in Hawaii, which was another 3 hours the other way, up to 18 months ago. Now in Florida, it's this way. So anyway, I don't know. I was just thinking maybe, you know, with all these different time zones, I'm surprised we're all still alert.
Oh!
It's when it comes to the Australians, it's like not even today. It's like tomorrow morning or something. That's when I check out.
Exactly right. So
yeah, no, it's 5 a.m. in Australia.
Tomorrow.
It's 5 a.m. in Australia. Right now on Saturday.
Is that right?
It is.
Yep.
Yes, they have a practitioner in Australia and many just lovely clients there. So, yeah, I've got the time zones welded in.
They are amazing over there.
Yes.
Got some good peeps.
I agree.
Really, really good peeps. And, we're excited to kind of continue this series that we got only really halfway through on part two last time, which we're talking about, you know, what do we wish other people would have said to us and helped teach us pre-diving into relationships? And one of the things we said was, you know, we sure wish that people would tell us about their mistakes. So we said, you know what, we'll do a 7-week series, which is, might be a little longer. Who knows?
Ours is already going to be longer.
Yeah, it is, could be.
Because you like to talk.
Because we laugh a lot. But, you know, we said, you know, what if we talked about our monster mistakes, 7 of them, and then in our past relationships and marriages and just got very real about that. And then part 2, which is, you know, this idea of a lot of initial love and wow and all that. You love them, but then there was this respect piece that just really wasn't there over the long haul.
I loved them, but I didn't respect them.
You
just say it, Jonesy.
Rough.
So that's what we're talking
all
about
right,
today.
That's where I get off this train right now. Okay. Been good. Been good, Nicole. Love you. Uh-huh. I'll go make dinner.
Oh, good. That's good. That sounds great. So we're just on the second part of that discussion today.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, we got into some deeper things last time when we talked, but we wanted to sum up. If you want to go back, obviously go back and listen to that. But we just kind of wanted to kick this second part of the second part off by saying really the best marriages are the ones where each person believes they got the better end of the deal. You know, and I think growing up, I didn't see a lot of that. I know in my family, there wasn't a lot of that respect toward the other person. You know, it was always, well, if I could change your dad, it'd be like this.
Yes, if you could change them.
You know, well, if I could change your mom, she wouldn't be so much like this.
Yeah.
And I could go into, like, the lists were long. They weren't just, well, this one kind of core issue. It was like, man, it was like, well, I wish your mother wasn't so into these, like, color palettes. And she's like, part of me is like, well, she's such a woman, Dad. That's crazy, isn't it? You know, she wasn't into these holidays. And she didn't, you know, I mean, she would just go on and on. And then my mom would look over and say, yeah, well, your dad, you know, he's a massive, you know.
You mean the things that were
yeah,
true?
Yeah, you know, man, a massive alcoholic and then an abuser. I mean, on and on and on, right? And so I remember thinking to myself, what would it be like if there was a marriage out there where each person believed that they got the better end of the deal, not the worst end of the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in a marriage and you think, man, I got, man, boy, did I marry down? Or I, how about this? I'm dating down. Down to be down, down, down. Like Debbie Downer down? Then that's a long way down. You know, rather than, man, I mean, I can honestly say in this relationship that I have that there's not a day that goes by that I don't go, man, I am so glad to be teamed up with this person, you know? And I can't say that. As I look back, I would say, I don't think I've said that. And I'm not saying that I'm the only one. Maybe, you know, I was with people too. I'm married. You know, I was with somebody down here, whatever that would be. But I really wanted to be with someone where I thought, man, I got the better end of this deal. And I can honestly say that that can happen. And I'm not so sure that many people could, but I thought, boy, if I could help folks, I'd say, hey, how about if you got off that trip that you're on that you're always thinking to yourself, God, again? Like again, like here I am again? Dating, marrying down rather than up.
Well, okay, so the best marriages are where each person believes they got the better end of the deal. True. Marriages then are the ones where one or both people believe they could have done better and you need to change. Okay. They think they believe, right? They should have, could have done better.
Darn straight.
So therefore, you need to change to meet their standards. And anytime, and I have... I've done the healing work that I do now 23 years, and I work with a lot of relationship issues with people that I work with. And I love doing that because it's so helpful to them and quick in allowing and supporting change. But every time, or I should say almost every time that someone calls to work on relationship issues, the opener is they need to change.
Yeah.
Here's what my partner did. Here's what my girlfriend did. Here's what my boyfriend does. And oftentimes I'll say, let's have both of you on the phone and let's go through this together. And it works really well.
Yep.
Because just pointing a finger, obviously, that other person needs to change and then I'll be happy is just delusional and it's wrong. And it's wrong because the other person could completely change to what you think you want them to be, and you're still not going to be happy because change begins and ends with you.
Well, not only that, it's change. The only person, you know, this is really true. The only person you can change is you, and really the only person who changes you for you. In other words, I'm not changing. If you're going, well, I'm changing for my spouse, I'm changing for someone else. They've done studies on that. There is no long-term effect there by and large. You know, it might be something that motivates you to begin, but in the end, there's something that says, I'm really in this for me.
Oh, and the same thing with addiction. If you try to stop an addiction and heal from an addiction for somebody else, it doesn't work. It only works when you're in it. So, yeah, and I, you know, one of the things that Gil and I talk about a lot is, you know, cleaning up your side of the street. In other words, don't point at my side of the street and say, you need to change. You need to clean this up. You need to do this. It's no, what do I need to do to keep my side of the street clean, to make my side of the street really good?
Yeah.
That's something that I feel really good about. So, yeah, I mean, I think our tendency in our culture is, yeah, blame the other person. It's their fault. If they could just change and they need to change, then our relationship would be great. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, Nicole, with your listeners, especially those who are dating, let's say you're in this kind of the process where you're, you know, you're still figuring out, right? You're bumping into people, however you do that in your own way, that you're starting these relationships off. And we thought, you know, these best marriages where each person believes they got the better end of the deal, the evidence is already there. In other words, when you're, you know, I remember this when I met you, Beth, and I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, she's already developed. Like, it was like, wow, she's developed in so many areas. She's developed her heart, her spirituality. She's developed her heart for God. She's developed her career. She's developed how she deals with children. She's developed educationally. She's developed financially, all these things. There's evidence of, right? The people who marry for potential or they jump into relationships and they get wowed by what could be rather than what already is. At least they see, you know, the evidence piece isn't quite there yet. That's where the danger begins. So be really careful here. And I'll say this because Beth and I run into folks that are all along the spiritual spectrum. And there are folks that are beautiful, beautiful people. And I think this is true, Nicole, of your listeners. They're wonderful. And it's like, There's such this deep desire and dream, right? And we hear this all the time. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on that, what you think could happen, right? And this manifesting piece. And don't. I mean, there's a part of this don't. But I would also say be really careful that you also bring a real sense of reality into that. You know, that you're not just going, well, this person – I just believe they can become this. I mean, this person you're with, I would make sure that they're the one saying, I'm in, and I am doing my work, and I am becoming developed emotionally, spiritually. And by the way, here's the evidence of that as I go forward in my life. So you can say, okay, this person was doing this before me. This person, before I showed up where I thought I was going to be their big change agent, They were doing all this, already in process. They were regardless of me in their lives, they're going somewhere. And not only that, they're putting those practices in place that are getting them where they want to be, and that where they want to be is where I am very much into seeing that as a great piece of their lives. And I'm going, man, I wanna join that and add value to what is already there, rather than, boy, I bet if I got in here, I'm just saying this is me. If only they had me, then they would become fantastic. I mean, I'm going to be that, you know, you complete me piece.
That's how you used to be?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I still have some that shirt.
No, you don't. That's why I asked the question.
Well, yeah, it was that idea of,
oh, yeah,
man, I'm the missing link.
I'll be the savior kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, amongst other ways of thinking that. Where it's like, you're already such a big value. I would love to be a value add rather than a change agent. Those are big, big differences between those two terms.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
You know, I want evidence, not potential. Evidence, not potential. And make sure that you're using terms like that. And that way it keeps you from BSing yourself. Because it's real easy to think real highly that you are the missing link for this person to become great. Because you're not.
Well, and like we always say, but it's very true and worth repeating over and over again, relationships and your choices that you make in them are run by your subconscious, which is created from automatic programming from childhood experiences. So you're seeking out and reliving what you wanted to heal from your childhood. You know, that's what you're doing until you bring that to light and you do your healing work on it. And for those people that have, you know, worked together to heal through things, or they worked separately before they got together to heal things, or all of the above, that's great. But when we stay away from relationships for a long time, you know, Gil, like you did, you know, for 14 years, and you did a lot of healing work. But then again, when you relationship up again, it tests those things.
Sure does.
You know, it tests those things and it brings up new things. It's like, oh, I thought that was healed. Well, how would you know? You weren't in a relationship at the time. So, you know, people always laugh and say, well, it must be easy for the monk sitting on top of the mountain. because they're by themselves meditating. What if the monk was in a relationship? How would they do? And it's something we kind of laugh about, but it's true, right? I mean, when you're in the mix with other people and you're in relationships of all many kinds, particularly intimate relationships in this case, or not even necessarily, relationships period, your stuff shows up because of triggers in life. And, you know, that's when you get to deal with it. And you can do healing while you're single. Of course you can. But then once you pair up again, other things will show up that will show you something. And trying to see that as a gift of something being revealed to me that still needs some healing. And that's okay. It's okay.
No, I like that because I think that it brings a sense of grace into that scenario. I think a lot of grace, which is really what's needed.
Of course.
Knowing that. But it also takes somebody who's got a nuanced way of thinking to say, hey, you know what? You're right. When we connected, I was at this level, and now I'm beginning to level up some, and it's providing some challenges, and and these kinds of things that I think that, boy, if I continue to have the heart that I have, that I can continue to build on, and I think that's really great.
Well, and if you're in a relationship with someone that believes in healing and growing and transformation, then when you get together and things do get triggered, it's okay because you know both of you are on the path of working on things, you know, and that makes a big difference.
That's really good.
You know, I have this a woman that I work with, and, you know, they were going through some things in the marriage that she's in. And, you know, it's like, okay, they made some changes, and she really wants to go to counseling and therapy with him, with a professional. You know, he doesn't really want to do energy medicine, so I'm not an option. That's okay. I want them to find somebody good. He won't go. You know, and she said, I know I'm the one in this relationship that's always working on myself, and I always have. And I kind of knew when we got together that, you know, his presentation is, I've got all the answers. Don't worry about it. We're all fine. You know, so now they're getting a real difficulty because, all of us have heard this story over and over again. One person's willing to work on some things and the other one's not. And that is really difficult. But at the end of the day, work on yourself. Work on yourself because it may emit change and healing and growth and inspiration in the other person. It might. It may not. But it might. And either way, what is in one person's best interest is also in the other person's best interest. And what I mean by that is, okay, we think it's easy just ignore the issues, right? Don't rock the boat. Don't bring anything up. Just ignore it. Keep living with the, you know, person with the massive addiction. Don't address it. It's okay. You're in the moment. It's fine. Well, then the moment is there again tomorrow, and then it's there again the next day, and nothing has changed. Just keep, you know, dealing with it and be miserable. That's okay. No. You know, make the choice to work on yourself, even if the other person's not willing. Because if you work on yourself, it will come to be that however this plays out will be in everyone's best interest. I fully believe that a spiritual truth that is truth with a capital T is that what is in one person's best interest is also in the other's at the end of the day.
So no matter what work you do on you, it's going to be good for them.
It is, even if the relationship ends.
Yeah.
Because if you work on yourself, the other person wants nothing to do with it. They're happy with they're comfortable with their dis-ease, whatever that is, and they don't want to work on it. And you end up, you work on yourself, and let's say, okay, they don't want to do anything. Okay. And then the relationship continues. It is in both persons' best interest that it did, because one person has worked on themselves to a place where this is not even survivable anymore, and they move on, which is obviously best for that person. The other one, who's unwilling, has an opportunity at the end of the relationship. They have an opportunity to heal because of the pain of the relationship ending. It provides an opportunity for healing. Now, the person may not take it. They may get in another relationship. They may still not take the opportunity to heal when that one ends. They may at some point. It is in their best interest for life to say, hello, are you ready to heal this yet? I got your back. The divine's got you. Are you ready to heal this yet? It is in their best interest that that relationship does not continue, because they are continuing to swim in their sea of pain, and they have no opportunity to get out of it until and unless they can see this isn't working. So it's a providing an opportunity to heal. We all know people and have been in relationships ourselves. I know I have, where you just keep hanging in there. You just keep hanging in there, basically until you can't anymore. And that is not how we are intended to live.
Right on. But I think Beth, one of the reasons people do that is because we think it's easier to just ignore that, right? I mean, ultimately, I think people say, well, I'm just going to kind of stay in here and ignore this deal. And I think I would always want to say to folks, especially that are in relationships that are a little bit rocky, is that ignoring reality may make today easy, but it makes tomorrow hard. But I'll tell you, confronting reality makes today hard, but tomorrow easy. And I think ultimately, ignoring reality in your relationship makes today easy, but tomorrow hard. But confronting reality makes today hard, but tomorrow easy, because then you'll know, hey, this needed to come to the end, or hey, it was going to fly and it did. And I love what you're saying. It's giving even a person that's sitting there saying, I don't know if I want to engage in growth. Mm-hmm. Boy, if the other person is like, you know, I do, and I'm not going to yell at you for not wanting to, but I'm going to, or, you know, get on you for that, but I'm going to pursue that end. That's actually beneficial for both. I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, people can say, yeah, that's exactly right. God talks about this in the scriptures. He talks about how where one person can bring some real salt and light into a relationship that then helps both of them. And not only them, their children and their families. And there's some real benefits there. Mm-hmm. No matter whatever the end result is, mm-hmm. there's a lot of really, really beautiful things. But that means somebody has to be saying, I'm not going to turn another way. I'm not going to ignore. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to do it. Most everybody that has any sort of human nature involved in them does, which is say, I want today easier than tomorrow, because, I mean, I actually like to be today and easier the rest of my life. But ultimately, we do this as humans. We'll say, I think it's a human nature thing. It is like, man, right now, I'll just take a nice hit of, you know, the Corona commercial, right? Like, I'm going to sit there with Snoop Dogg, and I'm going to be, you know, looking out over the beach, and hopefully that, you know, everything just changes. But then really, I know that won't happen and things get really difficult, rather than, man, let's do the difficult things today. That let's have the hard conversations. Let's have the discussions, I mean, in kindness. And then make some determinations about where we want to be, because it might be hard day, but it'll make our tomorrow so much better than what it would be.
Well, people are very uncomfortable with uncertainty. So they'd rather take certainty and misery because they're certain of it. They know what it involves. And they're very uncomfortable with uncertainty and change. You know, and that's just one thing that needs to be confronted lovingly, that needs to be addressed.
Right.
You know, there's a case study, I guess I could call it, of someone I worked with a really, really long time ago. That's why I feel comfortable sharing it. She was young. She was very successful financially. She loved her career. She always felt like she married the wrong guy. He stayed home. He sat on the couch. He played video games. Didn't want to work. She had enough money. He didn't have to work. So they had this kind of arrangement. Well, she ended up having an affair. Shocker. And beat herself up for it for years. Years. They got divorced. And, you know, it was kind of ugly there for a while. And she met someone else. And he ended up marrying someone else and having this beautiful life. They both loved dogs. He ended up working somehow in the field of helping dogs. Something really beautiful happened for him. And when I was talking to her, I remember saying, I'm like, are you ready to stop beating yourself up yet? She's like, well, I had an affair. I told myself I would never have an affair, you know? And I'm like, well, can you see that the ending of this relationship was in both of your best interests? Can you see that yet? And I'm like, look how happy he is. It didn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. But it was a perfect example, and that was one of the times when I was thinking, you know what? That is a universal truth. What is in one, in the others. And he fought that tooth and nail and then ended up with this beautiful life with someone who resonated with him, and they created something together to help animals. It was so cool. And then her life, the original woman I'm talking about, it was just, she was magical. It's magical. She ended up with someone that really resonates with her. So it ended up being a beautiful story out of these burned ashes, you know. And I just think that's a good example of how that is true. Doesn't mean it's quick, but it's an opportunity for everyone to pursue their heart and to grow through that and grow through pain in a lot of ways.
Well, I think it gives people a lot of hope. And I think the other side of that, too, is that, you know, I think we have to be careful that we, I always call that getting the script flipped on you. You know, you have the script of, you know, I need to be in control of not only the end game, but also how the means to the end. And I think for her, and I've done this, too, with my own life, where it's like, you know, oh, I'm so embarrassed that as I look back upon the carnage, you know, some of the decisions I made, right? And so at some point, you just got to go, hey, that's done. And there's grace, and there's goodness, and that can happen. I mean, I love the ending to that story. And I'm sure, hopefully, I don't know this woman, but I hope she's able to forgive herself.
No, she has. Yeah. Good. Yeah, she has. It took a long time.
Good, good.
But she has. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm kind of keeping along lines of it. Nicole, I write these, and then they just kind of go whatever ways. So this is always fun.
Even then
we're talking, you know, reasons, this idea of it's easy to blow off respecting and to move away from just loving. I think what you're saying is absolutely spot on. It's like when people actually jump in and confront the reality of it, and then some beautiful things can happen, right? But I think the second reason it's easy to blow off this respect over this love piece is because in order for me to respect someone, I think I need to respect myself. And there's probably not a lot of that in a lot of places that happens, especially in our culture. One of the guys I listen to all the time, one of my mentors, speaks all over the world, and he talks to kids today. A lot of these kids are my kids' ages, and so I listen to him. And I'll tell you what, there is just these kids are just absolute. So many are shredded by thinking they just suck, seriously. And so his whole clearing call is, you didn't come out of the womb thinking that you sucked. That happened, but somebody implanted that in you. That came from somewhere, whether it was a parent or a coach, whether it was authority, whether it was some, you know, whatever it would be for you, a leader. You got this implanted in you. You did not come out of the womb thinking you suck. You came out of the womb going, whoa, here I am. Matter of fact, every one of my kids came out and smiled right at me. And I was like, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, here we are. And I know I did. I can say that.
I have no doubt.
Oh, my goodness. When I came smiling, not even know what was coming. But, you know, I say this, I want to say this because, you know, we have six kids between us here. And so this stuff really does just kind of hit me right in the solar plexus, you know, of the lower you feel about yourself, the longer you'll put up with and stay in horrible situations and relationships.
Yep.
So I just, the lower you feel about yourself, if you really feel like you suck, you are probably getting whipped, in, so to speak, in a relationship for far too long, where you just kind of go, well, I'm being treated like a piece of crap in large part because I think I'm a piece of crap.
That's right.
And this is a big one. This is a big one. That, man, if I could say anything to anybody that's up and coming, I don't care how I have, you can be 99 years old.
Yeah.
You build you in the eyes of you, you know, and you grab that. You grab a hold of how you didn't come out of the womb thinking you suck. So if you're, if that's, you know, if that's what you're doing, that you kind of wake up every morning, and I love this, this line that comes out of Eat, Love, Pray, or Eat, Pray, Love, whatever that book,
Eat, Pray, Love,
good stuff. Dude says, every morning you get to choose your thoughts the way you choose your clothes. Every morning, you choose your thoughts about yourself the way you choose your clothes. You choose your thoughts about others the way you choose your clothes. And, he's telling her this, this woman this in the book, right, in the movie. And he's saying to her, every day you get up, what do you think? She's talking about how she loves, Julia Roberts praise part, right? She loves dressing well. And she loves looking beautiful. It's something that she's all about, beauty, right? And he goes, and so choose your thoughts the same way. You know, choose your thoughts every day. You know, so many people I know wake up and they go, and I'm serious, this, and they think, there's just, I have a bad picker. I have bad luck in relationships. Whatever, I'm cursed. No, you're not. You wake up every morning and you choose, you know, your latte and your clothes and everything very carefully. And then you go, I suck. And you start off whipping yourself. And instead of saying, you know what, my thoughts today, I'm gonna choose the best thoughts today about me. I'm gonna choose the best thoughts about the world I live in. I'm gonna anchor them in what God thinks, because God absolutely cares for you and loves you. And I mean, He just sings and dances over you. He loves you. So you can't. You see God on a beach, He would be jumping up and down for you. He would be chasing you down. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. All the way through the script, God loves you so much. And I, and then, you know. And you should feel that's exact. You should feel like that too. Somebody roll, hey, I see you. I love you. Put those kind of people in your life. Choose those kind of thoughts in your life. That's what I say. Choose your friends like that. Choose your thoughts like that. Choose that for you, because, and I mean, if you don't respect yourself, if you really get up every day and you're like, you know, and I'll say this, my dad's number one line to me growing up, and it was every day. It was, well, Gil, did you, you know, go get your shit together. Every day, it was get your shit together. Which, what did that tell me? Every day I wake up, my shit's not together. That's what I've had. I've had that branded into my soul, right, from day one. So I don't just go, well, that's the way it goes. A lot of people have had that in their lives and go off and do great stuff with it because they decide they're not going to be like that. So for me, it's, I tell myself that's not true. I go make sure my kids know that I love them dearly. And you've heard me on the phone with them, even though, you know, they live in other states. But, man, I tell you what, I get on there and I tell them over and over. I send them texts every day. I go, you are the best, like, because they are. They have such such greatness in them. People in my life that I mentor, same thing, right? So we're always re-engineering what the world has taken from us. And an engineer for themselves, but this engineering piece is just nuts. And so Proverbs 23:7, you write down any passage in the Bible, it's my, you know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a person thinks of themselves, so they are. As you think of you, so you are. So you create you. You create you. You know? You for you. And I'm serious. The higher you feel about yourself, then that's when you'll start placing yourself and staying in great situations and relationships.
Yeah, it seems magical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, if you look, you could, my life is touchstone with this. The best relationships have always come to me when I've thought the best of me. And I've crashed when I've allowed myself to go, I'm done. I suck. It's over. I don't matter. I mean, You could just go, well, there it is. You know,
oh, yeah.
If you were to graph out your life, I guarantee you.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to do. I like that.
No, I just think that's one reason I just think why we struggle in these relationships of saying, gosh, I wish I would have done better. Well, it's because you didn't think you were better. It's not on them.
That's a really interesting perspective. It's simple, but it's so profound. To look over your life and see. When I was feeling really good about me, who was I in relationship with? And when I was not feeling good about me at all, who was I in relationship with? That's a very interesting assignment. I like that because it's spot on.
Yeah, draw a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Really, do a relationship timeline.
Great.
You'll see it.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. That's okay.
No, but seriously, as a person thinks of themselves, so they are, and so who they choose.
Well, you'll see this. And Nicole, Beth and I have these conversations all the time, so I know, you know, we might be weird, but I love it. And we do, right? So, and Beth will say this to me. She'll go, man, you're... some really good stuff will happen in my life. And Beth will go, you know where that started? Right over here. And she will. She'll go, but 3 weeks ago, you said bam. And then, you know, you will. You'll say it. You'll go. And then you started living on that plane. You started living on a different plane. You started living on a different spiritual plane, emotional plane. You started living in a different set of really security rather than insecurity. And then notice what happened there. Like it works micro and macro.
Yep.
So on a micro level, every morning, on a macro level, as I'm growing all year long, and then years. And I have bad days. We all have bad days. But overall, it's that, you know, I'm choosing more days this year to live in that place where I am choosing to respect myself and really see myself the way God sees me, see myself the way you see me, see myself the way I need to see me.
Mm-hmm.
I go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you go, wow. This year was a really crazy great year. Well, why was that? You know, I love when people go, "It was the meridian," you know, or some, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, of course.
You mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, you're so cute.
I know, but what is it?
Meridians. You mean like horoscope?
Yeah, like they'll say, I don't know, it's even horoscope, but it'll be
like Mercury and retrograde.
Yeah. And I'll go, and I know there's Mercury and retrograde, but also I also do not want my, I don't want my thoughts to be gauged by that.
Yeah,
that
I
makes
know.
Sense?
Well, it makes it sound like you don't have any control over it whatsoever, and it's random.
Well, I've actually had someone treat me like crap once. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened to you today? And they're like, oh, something's in retrograde. I was like, really? I didn't know it was the universe that chose you to treat me like crap. I don't.
It is funny. Like, I had this one client and a while back, and he was, I loved the guy. I mean, he was so sweet. But, like, he'd get a spider bite, and then he'd call and say, what's going on for me that happened? You know, and I'm like, oh, you went on a walk through the bamboo forest, and you got a spider bite. I mean,
yeah, right.
You know, so, yes, I think sometimes we take those things to an extreme.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is it about me?
Well, you know how I am. Like, me against the universe, man. I'm very something. I'm going for it. So,
against the universe, yeah.
You know, but I just think this is really important to look at. And I think it's important to timeline out, you know, and say, okay, like I would say this, Nicole, like for your listeners this month, like really sit down and go, okay, we're in June. We just started the month. Every day, go, I'm going to see how many days this month, you know. There's 30 days. And I'm going to go through this and see how this works. For me. So, you know, and you're not going to be perfect. But what if you said, boy, this month, you know, 55% of the days I actually woke up and said, what is true of me? And I lived in that.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed that through and I walked it through and I carried it. Next month, 60%. Month after that, 75%.
Mm-hmm.
Month after that, all of a sudden I start to live.
Mm-hmm.
You'll live in a different place. You will. And again, I can do it. I can show you mine. Absolutely. That works. So that's just an important thing is just to not, you know, be really careful on this when you say, why have I seen, I'm dating under or marrying less than, check you first, right? And start to live based on evidence, you know, not potential. Make sure you're not ignoring reality because today it makes it easy, but tomorrow hard. Make sure you're really confronting reality, makes it hard, tomorrow easy. And walk through those things. So I think this, you know, how many we've got? 10 minutes left or so? You want to talk about rising above the relational chaos and becoming intentional about all this?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit? Well, I think one thing we want to say in what I was just saying there is that, Nicole, this whole thing is this, we talk about relationships as in it's like a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
You know, it's be really careful that you don't beat yourself up over, just over a really, you know, just a really hard time, you know, that you're going through. Or, hey, I'm dipping right now. That's okay. You know, just like I say, fall down 7, get up 8. Say it all the time. Fall down 7, yep. Get up 8, you know. And it's interesting because I've kind of learned this through one of my sons. And he's, just to give you a heads up, back in the day when he was young, he was into cars, which meant he and I were not going to get, we were not going to connect real well there because I didn't know anything about cars. Growing up, he loved cars. I kept wondering, like, who his real dad was, because I was into sports, you know, and he was into, like, cars. I mean, those are two just different things. And so he was into Mustangs. When he turned 16, he brought me this deal. He said, I want to buy a Mustang. And then he was really smart. He said, but I don't have any money, so you do. So why don't you help me buy one? And I was like, what? You know, and then he could have written a book on this stuff. The guy was amazing about this. Like, he was like, Dad, let me show you about Ford Mustangs. And by the end of, like, I don't know, some weeks of talking to me, I was ready to go buy myself one. I mean, he just knew everything about them, why they were number one, and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, we ended up getting them. It wasn't a very expensive one. It was an older Mustang, but it was really cool. And he loved it. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, here he was 16. He'd never had a girlfriend, and now he had his Mustang. And so, of course, he got a girl, and he brought her home, and I said hi to her. And then, you know, they went out and did their date, and then he came back. And I said, well, son, tell me more about this girl that you went on this date with, that your vehicle, obviously, she must have really liked it. And I said, tell me about this girl, right? And he goes, and I'm not kidding, he goes, she's smoking hot, huh, Dad? And I looked at him, I'm like, well, I mean, she's 16. I'm not thinking about whatever. And I said, yeah, but here, I'm thinking to myself, he must know a lot more about her, because when it came to his vehicle,
right,
he knew everything about Mustangs. Mm-hmm. He kicked the tires on these Mustangs forever. And, I mean, he could write books, but he had one line about the woman, the girl that he was with. He goes, well, Dad, she's smoking hot. And that's all he could say all night long. And I remember, I just want to throw this, okay? Do you see where somehow there's a cultural disconnect here?
Yeah. Huge.
That you would go kick the tires on a car.
You're prepared.
Understanding it's a long haul with a vehicle. I mean, all these hours and hours of being prepared. We do this in our culture. We spend hours and hours being prepared to buy a house, vehicles, even gyms we go to. You know, we get into this whole thing. Are you going to be in spinning or Pilates or Zumba or P90X or CrossFit for snobs or whatever it would be, right? Because I want to get shred and swole. People go on and on about this stuff, like forever. And then you go, tell me about your girlfriend. She's hot, dude. So I would just say, like, in our culture, how about we rise above the relational chaos and actually become marathon-wise intentional about making sure that we're with people that we go, this person is someone that my entire heart can get around, you know? I'm sure the, you know, she's hot, dude, is whatever, is in there. But I think there's just something that we can do to say, I'm going to do more than just follow my heart. I'm going to do more than just say, well, you know, I'm trying another internet dating site. I'm going to do more than just say, you know, I bumped into somebody. And I mean, I'll be honest, I grew up with the movies too, and the movies are wonderful. As a matter of fact, they raised me because my mom and dad had a hard time. And so the movies raised me, and they taught me that it only took 2 hours. There was a beginning, and then somewhere in the middle of some conflict. By the end, it was a happily ever after, and that's how it worked. And that's not how it works, you know. It's just not. It's beautiful. Movies are beautiful. But when you talk to people that have long-standing relationships, long-standing, there is so much more. to this piece. So I just want, you know, like they have literally, they know each other. Like I love that I get to know a little bit, and I get to know more about Beth every day. And I'll say this one thing, like just today for me, this is just how I see the world. Okay. So I've been getting, and Beth doesn't know this. Well, maybe she does. So I can, so Beth has this thing and she loves everybody. And so, she loves this one family member of hers right now a lot, okay? She does. By the way, it's something I really liked. I loved about that when I first met her, and we talked. And, you know, we did 200, we logged like 200-300 hours on the phone because she was in Maui and I was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't see each other for a few months based on some other circumstances. And so we just got on the phone at night. And I actually would write, I would write down questions before. I have a notebook, and I would write down questions when we had. In my notebook, what I was going to ask her at night. And we'd talk for 3-4 hours a night, hundreds of hours. And I wrote down questions because I wanted to know more about her, you know. And one of the things I know about her is how much she loves people. So family member right now, right, who's not doing well, and she's kind of up and down. And there's times I'm like, well, you know, this is me right now. I'm like, well, come on now, you know, put some boundaries in that relationship. You know, that's how I work. And then there's this other person who's struggling along, and Beth just feels really called to love on her too. And there's this part of me that's like, oh my gosh, I'm a pastor, I get it. I've loved all these people too, and they're just gonna break her heart, right? This is kind of where I go, because why not? Let's just get sour on somebody who wants to love a bunch of people. And so what I've done is I have to go back and go, how many people love like this girl loves? And all those 300, 400 hours of time on the phone with you, Beth, I knew this about you, and I loved this about you. And now I get to live it with you, and it's actually pretty freaking amazing. And the stories that come out, but I can sit there and go, my back hurts, and I need, you know, whatever, right? Or I can say, I probably married the most loving person on the face of the earth. You want to be able to do that. You want to be able to go back and say, I watched this person and I fell in love with these like 50 things. And then you know what? They're real. And of course they show up because they're real. And if you know what's great about when you really love some people like crazily and nuttily and all that, you know what? It gets messy. You know what? That's okay too. Matter of fact, the messier the better, because that means you're really in there, you know? And people don't always come out clean and pretty. Matter of fact, most don't. So, like, for Nicole, for your listeners, like, give yourself the beauty of really finding out who these people are. And it's okay to start with they're hot, you know? Well, they're hot. Of course, first thing we see, we're all visual, right? But there's also this piece that goes, man, I want to know all of those layers under there. And I want to see that those are the ones you're going to be doing life with forever. I mean, I'll be honest. Beth is probably the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And she is the most beautiful person I've ever seen. Like, man, she's beautiful, right? But you know what's great about Beth? She's more beautiful all the way down to the core of her soul. And that is what you want to be able to say. And I'm serious, you know, in the movies that always really got me, it was the older couple sitting there holding hands at the end of their lives, right? And they were sitting there holding hands going, I know you, and I got to do the best life with you. That's what you want. You don't want to sit there and go, well, you know, all these carcasses of relationships past because I just never had the guts to see myself as better. And I didn't do the work on me, and I didn't really do the asking about you, and I didn't really get to watch my soul get developed. And so, therefore, I just kind of went through life with a real shallow sense of this, you know. You know, you want to make sure at the end of your life, I mean, seriously, we all got this shot because we're all breathing right now. We're all listening, so we're breathing. By the end of your life, you want to have that story. I promise you, you want to have that story that you respect the person you're with, and you respect them all the way to the core of their being. And I'm telling you, holding hands with them, man, just the most beautiful thing. And today for me with Beth, watching her love these two folks, it's amazing. I get to go, I'm with her. So do that. Spend your life doing that. That, boy, that's worth it right there. That's worth it.
All right, so he's making me cry over here. I don't have to say after that in guilt. All right, Nicole, we're over here crying.
It's a good sign.
It is. Absolutely. I love what you're saying about being intentional. Because that's what you're saying. It's about being intentional and really knowing someone. And I love that you had a notebook when we would talk on the phone. You know, and one of the first things Gil texted me was a picture of a very old couple holding hands. And so what you just said is really true about your heart. Because you sent that to me right away. And I thought, that is so sweet and heartfelt.
I think they were laughing.
You know, and they were laughing, and I'm like, why, you know, not to be, I just said, I said, well, why did you send that to me? You know, and you're like, that's my picture of what I've always wanted in my life. You know, and I think you put your heart right out there. And we were both really intentional. You know, and part of that, you know, comes with age, too. And a lot, of course, a lot of experiences in age and wanting to get to that. And, you know, it's not as beautiful as what you said by any means. But one of the things that I share with people that I think really helps them also with relationships is that treat the relationship more like you would treat your own business. You know, Nicole's an entrepreneur. She's got this beautiful show that's been going on for years now. You know, it's like if we treat a relationship like we take care of our business, they do better because you have to pay attention to a business to do well. You have to have regular meetings and you have to have regular communication and set intentions and goals and plans. People get in relationships and they don't even talk anymore. It's like, well, that's okay. We've been married so long, it doesn't matter. Or, you know, we're just living day to day. We don't want, you know. But no, treat it like you're nurturing an entrepreneur. You're nurturing your entrepreneurship. You're nurturing a business together that you run together because it is one. But when we ignore it and we just say, I don't have to deal with this. It's just a relationship or it's been here a long time. No, it needs to be nurtured like a garden or honestly like a business. And Gil, you're actually the one that told me that one time years ago. You're like, you know, if you treat relationships like a business, they do better. Of course, they have emotions involved, but you're treating it like you would planning and working towards a business. And that idea really has helped me, and it helps a lot of people.
Well, there's probably a better way to do it, but I think.
Oh, I think that's a very good metaphor.
Yeah, I know relationships are living organisms, and so you know, people say, "How can we end it?" I'm like, "Well, you're either picking away at life or you're adding to it." So anyway, Nicole, thanks for letting us be here.
Always a pleasure. I'll just let you know we're at the tippy top. Time to do some shameless self-promotion.
What we've been telling people lately, and especially with our series now, is, you know, go to the shopping cart at besthealingsolutions.com. Hashtag Why Is Love So Hard is the name of a retreat that we did in person. And it's fantastic. We both read a lot of relationship books and had a lot of relationships, including failed ones, and that retreat is the best thing I've seen on the subject. So there, that was actual shameless self-promotion.
Well, yeah, we're also going to be both with Healing Solutions as well as some things Beth and I are doing together. We'll start being really specific about where to find us on social media, where you'll catch us live and on video as well coming up. pretty soon too. So we're getting ready to do some new stuff.
And if you want healing on your past or past pain or relationships, you know, reach out. Please feel free to reach out to me through besthealingsolutions.com. And we have a great YouTube channel that's really rocking and rolling right now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it sure is.
At Best Healing Solutions. So check that out as well and subscribe. There's
right
really
on
great stuff. We're uploading a few times a week now. And
it's awesome.
We're really proud of it.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah.
There you have it. We sure love you and your listeners.
Yay.
Thanks.
Yay for you guys, and you're back in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to it already. Take care. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Happy weekend, Nicole.
First and third weekends.
Right. You too. Bye for now. Beth and Gil are all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more after this. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.